Today, for our Bible study, please turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and I'll begin reading at verse 10. If you don't have your Bible, just listen closely, but I would encourage you to find your Bible and let's read these verses together. Exodus chapter 3 at verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve me upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now verse 14, Exodus 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Now here's what I want you to listen to this morning. Who is this that speaks from the burning bush upon this mountain? God is about to send Moses back to Egypt to lead this people out of bondage. And who is this one who speaks from this bush that burns with fire but is not consumed? It is the very same person that speaks throughout the gospel writings we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake. Our Lord told the Pharisees, now listen closely, in John chapter 8, verse 56, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? And the Lord Jesus said unto them, Before Abraham was, I am. I am. Now, it's no mistake that the Lord uses the same words as this voice that speaks from this burning bush, because it is the same eternal God. Our blessed Savior did not have His beginning at Bethlehem. He is the everlasting God. Yes, in time He was manifested in the flesh as a real man. We read in 1 Timothy 3:16, Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit of God, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world and received up into glory when He had by Himself purged our sin. He sat down at the right hand of God. He is the mighty, the great, the everlasting God Almighty. God incarnate. God manifest in the flesh. Let us never forget that our Lord at no time stopped being God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Someone has put it this way. He remained what He was, Almighty God, and became what He was not, flesh, and dwelt among us. Especially through the gospel record in John, our Lord identifies Himself at least 7 times as the I am. I am that I am. Now, I want to read these 7 scriptures to you and make a few comments through the book of John. The first one we read of in John chapter 6, verse 35. If you want to jot these down, I'll give you the scripture references. John chapter 6, verse 35. Our Lord declares, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Lord Jesus Christ declares He is the I Am. He is God, and He is, as God, the bread of life. And He clearly says, He that cometh to me shall never hunger. How do we come How do we come to Him? Well, it's by faith. By faith. We come to Him. We receive Christ as everything in salvation. He says, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger." We never lack any spiritual good, any spiritual necessity. "He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Never hunger, never thirst. God's people are never lacking. We read in Ephesians 1, verse 3, "God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." All spiritual blessings are in Christ. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's able in Christ, God in Christ, meets all our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Never hunger. We never lack for righteousness. Never lack for redemption. Never lack for wisdom. "He that believeth on me shall never thirst." He's the water of life. So there's the first one, John 6:35. "I am the bread of life." The second one we find in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Our Lord spake unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, by nature, we're born in darkness. We read in John 3:19, "Men love darkness rather than the light." By nature, we're born in sin and darkness, ignorance and depravity. We read in Ephesians 2, "Without God, without hope, without help, without Christ." By the grace of God, we are born again. We're born of this supernatural light. He's commanded the light to shine in our heart to give us the knowledge of God, the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the light of salvation. He is the revelation of salvation. He is the revelation of the glory of God. He is that light. A light reveals things. And the Lord Jesus Christ reveals unto us the light of salvation, the light of redemption, the light of God, the glory of God, the holiness of God, the purpose of God, the sovereignty of God. And you can go on and on. He is that light. I am the light. The third reference we read in the book of John is John chapter 10, verse 9. Our Lord says, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be justified, saved, redeemed, and shall go in, into life, into salvation, and out. Out of death, out of depravity, out of disease and sin, and find pasture, find plenty." He's plenteous in redemption. He's abundant in mercy. Into life and out of death. The Lord Jesus Christ is the means. I am the door. A door is a means of access, a means of entrance into a tabernacle, into a building. The Lord Jesus clearly sets Himself forth as the means God has provided for our salvation. We read in Isaiah 28, God said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall never make haste," will never be forced out. The Lord Jesus Christ is that foundation. He is that door. He is the very means that God has provided to secure our salvation, to purchase our salvation, and to guarantee the salvation of God's people. Now here's the fourth reference, found also in chapter 10 of the book of John, chapter 10. We read in verse 11 and in verse 15, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? Well, we're told, I am, this eternal God, I am that I am. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now in Scripture, he's called several times, our Lord is to, by this name, shepherd. He's called the chief shepherd who shall come again. He is called the great shepherd of the sheep who redeemed us by the blood of the everlasting covenant. But here our Lord calls himself the I Am who is the good shepherd. Now we know the shepherd, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd provides for the sheep, protects the sheep, cares for the sheep, he owns the sheep. But here he says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ as our good shepherd, the shepherd of his people, laid down his life, gave his life as a sacrifice for sin. He's dying in the room in the stead of God's people. Call his name Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He shall save his people from their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, as shepherd and surety and high priest, didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice. He brought his own blood. He said, I am the good shepherd. This good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. And notice this is particular redemption. I am the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. The Lord purchased his church with his own blood. He loved the church and gave himself for the church. The Lord Jesus died for his elect exclusively, particularly, and he particularly and redeemed his people from their sin. I am the good shepherd. The fifth one we read of is in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. I am life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of all his people. He's the first fruits of the dead. He's resurrected of God. His resurrection, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. His resurrection declares that all he said and all that he did is true and accepted of God. He is my resurrection. He is my life. He is that to all of his people. I am, he says, the resurrection. Now the sixth one is found in John chapter 14, verse 6. Our Lord said, I am. Now this is the same one that's speaking. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by and through me. Christ is salvation. Salvation is in Christ. Adam lost those three things. Adam in the garden lost the way, he lost truth, and he lost life. In Christ Jesus, we have all things restored. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Christ is the way. Not a way, the way. Salvation in no other. He is the truth. And he is life. The last one is found in John 15, verse 1. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. Now what's he saying here? The same as he said, has said in these other six references, there is life and salvation in Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. He purchased salvation. He planned salvation. He accomplished salvation. He said at Calvary, it is finished. It's God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. He is that true vine, that true life. Now, as you can easily see from meditating upon these Scriptures, our Lord Jesus Christ has made unto us all that we need now and eternally. We read in Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, in Him dwells all the fullness, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him we are complete. Now you might ask yourself this question. Is it really important that I trust Jesus Christ as God and believe Him alone as all my salvation? Yes, and here's the reason why. John 8:24. Now listen carefully. Our Lord said to those Pharisees, He said, except you believe that I am, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. You see how vital this is? We read in John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We read again in John chapter 5, verse 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I pray this message will be a blessing to you, and I trust you've written these references down through the book of John and would go back and read them and ask the Lord to reveal himself to you as the mighty God, the only Savior of sinners. I am that I am. If you would like a copy of this message, you can call me at 631-9053, or you can write to church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.